live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, on location and talking on a telephone. So please excuse the quality. It's not normal as I would be, for example, in a studio with a microphone. But we have a lot to share with you. We're going to talk about the mere presence of smartphones reduce brain power. Wow, something important. We're also going to look at how compounds in cacao or chocolate can help to delay the onset of diabetes, adult diabetes, that's from Brigham Young University. We're also going to explore how we can stop psychiatric medications. This is from Medicine and Health, Psychology and Psychiatry, and it deals with the idea that we've all been told that you can't get off psychiatric meds, but this is saying you can. How to do so? What are the impacts? And then for those of you who are having problems with night vision, I'm going to give you kind of a little classroom on the air, some new information from Life Extension, and I'll share that with you today. And we also will, if time permits, talk about treating post-traumatic stress disorder in adults and children with natural remedies and homeopathy and herbs from J.B. Bartlett from Natural News. So we have a lot to share with you. And then I have two commentaries, one from John Whitehead on exactly how bad is the police state in the United States getting. And then I have two commentaries. One is what I began the other day where I suggested that not everyone should be going to college. I'll explain what I believe are the best areas if you go to college to go into and where else you could get an education without going bankrupt or staying in debt peonage for doing so, and that you actually have an opportunity to work. Also today, it's based upon a conversation that I had with a person who was angry that I supported Ralph Nader. Now, this just came up. One of those, you know, people see you at a place and they decide to have a little conversation, and, oh, by the way, you know, we wouldn't be having a Donald Trump, or we wouldn't have had a, and then they go through what we wouldn't have had with George Bush had you not voted for Ralph Nader. And I said, I wasn't telling anyone to vote for Ralph Nader, but since you brought it up, listen tomorrow to my show, which is today, and I'll explain why not only was I right in voting for Ralph Nader and Jill Stein and Rock Anderson, but all of you were as well, and why the entire left and the entire liberal establishment that voted against Ralph Nader was on the wrong side of history. But I like to get into the details, the minutiae, because anybody can make some broad general statements when it comes to saying, oh, well, Nader, you know, Nader hurt us. No, Nader did not hurt us. A lack of awareness is what hurt us, but I'm going to give a commentary on that today. If time permits, we're also going to hear some audio clips today, and especially on hypocrisy of Clinton and Obama when it comes to immigration. So that's what we got in stock for you. Now, I remember coming home and finding about a year ago that I had a smart meter, and I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. And so I wrote a letter, and I got it removed. Got the analog back. And then I started seeing all these people with the so-called smartphones, the high-end phones, the ones that have facial recognition. Why would you need facial recognition? I mean, is there anyone who has one of these stupid phones that doesn't have their face doing one of those grinning characterizations of a human being? I can't stand selfies. I'd never take a selfie, but that's me. But now they want to put all your data in there. So no matter where you're at, they know it. Why should anyone care where you're at? Why should you want someone to know where you're at? Why would you want there to be a microphone in your smartphone that can record your conversations in real time, even when you think it's off, and take pictures of you even though you're not aware it's taking picture of you at all. This is how bad it's gotten. I'll get to the commentary from John Whitehead a little bit on how much of a police state we are. But according to the latest research from Matt Argist, researchers at the University of Texas in Austin recently completed a comprehensive study illustrating the effects of smartphones on the human brain. Here's what they found. And this is, quote, what they found was that smartphones actually make us dumb. According to the study, entitled Brain Drain, the mere presence of one's own smartphone reduces available cognitive capacity. Having a smartphone around is a definitive way to lower our cognitive ability. According to the study's authors, and there's a whole bunch of authors on this, they used two experiments indicating that when people are successful at maintaining sustained attention, as when avoiding the temptation to check their phones, the mere presence of these devices reduces available cognitive capacity. And moreover, these cognitive costs are highest for those highest in smartphone dependency. So we conclude by discussing the practical implications of this smartphone-induced brain drain for consumer decision-making. And by the way, the study points out the fact that smartphones are a revolutionary way for people across the world to access information. I would agree with that. And stay connected with the simple tap on that phone. And they note that this state of constant connection would not even have been possible just 10 years ago. They also note the massive contribution to humanity that smartphones have brought us. However, and this is the key, when we look at what we have in our life, who we have in our life, what we're doing in our life, is it in balance, something for the positive or for the negative? And this is where it gets complicated, because our subconscious, and it's sub, meaning we're not aware of it, we're just reacting through it, our conditioning from all the people in our lives, some good conditioning, some bad, it's not all bad, and not all good or bad, that dictates 97% of everything we think and say and do in a given day. So when we have something that we shouldn't be doing and we know is not good for us, but we do it anyhow, how do we come up with the decision to do it? Especially if the outcome could only be something that could be to our detriment. And that's where the desire to maintain patterns, rituals, dogmas comes in. That's our conditioning. Our repetition gives us some comfort. You know, take a shower. I'll bet anyone in this audience that you shower the same part of your body every day. If you start under the armpits or go to your chest or your neck or your face or your groin, you do it every day the same way. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that a pattern in and of itself is bad. But let's say the people that wolf down their food, and wolfing comes from the expression because wolves just take one gulp and down it goes. But people eat too fast. Try to get someone to eat too fast to take their time and slow down. It's not an easy process. First, they have to desire to do that. And to desire it, they have to be aware of it. Are we even aware of our patterns of behavior? Or have we gotten so used to them and others around us gotten used to them that everyone adapted to us? There's someone that is a really good friend, and many of you will meet this person at the a retreat coming up, which is full, by the way, and I want to thank all the people who are coming, because not only are you going to have your life changed, hopefully for the better, but also all of the premiums, all of them, 100% of the premiums have now been paid for. Now, I don't know the original amount. I was told, but I could be off on this, $137,000 to $169,000 worth of money came into the station, and the station was able to keep that, spend it on expenses, and we paid for the, with the exception, I think, of $3,000, we paid for everything from the premieres, lectures, and other things that saved the station. So it's all good in that respect that everyone now will have very shortly your premiums. But in the process, one of the people who helps teach people how to swim, bike, is John Q. John's a phenomenal athlete. You would never, ever guess his age or his partner's age. She looks phenomenal. She has the body of an 18-year-old. She's 68, I believe. Phenomenal. She's proud of her age. I mean, she is the standard of what a woman 68 should look like. And she has ripped. I mean, there's not an ounce of fat on her. Her skin is tight. Her muscles are strong. She's got incredible endurance and stamina. She's got an effervescent, upbeat personality. And but John has this habit of really yelling. I think somewhere in his background, he was around someone who couldn't hear well, so he had to scream. So you can always know that John's around. You can hear him, whether he's in the pool, coaching people, or out on the road in Central Park. If you're on one side of the park and you go by, you'll hear John going, "Okay now," and the people on the other side of the park can hear it. Now, at a certain point when you are talking very loud, you're not aware of it, but other people are. Now, try to bring that down to a normal level, or someone who's like a little mouse, just can't seem to speak up, and you're always saying, "Speak up, I can't hear you. What are you saying?" It's hard. Someone to slow down eating too fast, speed up if they're eating too slow. So we have all these built-in patterns. And what I'm suggesting is that our patterns, once they have been formed, are extraordinarily difficult to change. So at a certain point, unless there's a disaster, we don't change. We just adapt to them. So think of how often the first thing you do is go to your computer. You're leaning into that screen. You're getting electromagnetic pulses coming right back at you. That blue light is very damaging. You got to stay at least 3 feet away. And that means 3 feet away from the server as well. Now, cell phones are important. There are times when they're absolutely necessary. However, you should never hold them, put them on your body, never in your pocket, because that's where they can radiate right into your prostate, to your liver, to your kidneys, damaging them. But we have a whole lot of people that keep checking them all day long, and that's dangerous too, and that's what this is saying. It's saying that it's actually reducing your brain power, no matter what the benefits. So in life, look at what we do and ask ourselves, are we benefiting or are in some way we being reduced in quality of life? It's like, I remember once my publisher saying to me, "Gary, I got bad news for you." I said, "What's that?" And the publisher said, "I'm going to be retiring and the new people coming in will not have any clue how to work with you. So my suggestion is, you find another publisher." And this person said, "We've done 12 straight books together, all national bestsellers, but these people do not believe in big books. The trend in publishing is smaller books. You like to write definitively. You like to write something that will still be timely 20 years from now. They want to write something and they can put it out in 200 pages or less. You're writing something that's 1,000 pages, publishing it." And so I was very fortunate in my career to have a Cynthia Vartan and John Louise Brindamore and Ann Kearns and at William Morris Agency, Mel Berg, who later went on to head the agency, and at Curtis Brown, Mitchell Waters, the best agent a person I ever could have. And without these people, I would not have been the success I have been, because they understood that there's some of us, not all of us, but some of us, myself included, who like to give definitive explanations. Why take a second to say something if you can say it where people can actually understand what you're saying and use it if it takes a minute? And so they would match you, what you were doing, with a publisher and a campaign that at least would get a chance to get it out there. So that's how it works. In fact, I'll never forget, I get a call one day. I'm regressing now. I get a call one day, and it's a man. He says, "Hi, Gary." He says, "My name's Bob Smith. You don't know me, but I'd like to meet with you because I think I could offer you some advice." "Okay, fine." And I said, "Saturday afternoon is good for me because I'm answering the mail at WMCA." And so he came over, and he said, "Don't fall into the habit of sounding like you're on radio and just be yourself. And the things you like to do where you talk about life and experiences, do that. Because people don't. They keep everything as very personal away, afraid of being judged or afraid this is corny. We need some corniness. We need some more human. We got all these powerful brains and we got all these powerful personalities, but there doesn't seem to be a heartbeat behind them. Now, I said, why do you want to help me? He said, well, I just retired. And I said, what'd you do? He said, I was the head of RKO radio and television, including WOR, AM and FM, and all their network. Wow. All right. That was something that fell out of a tree I wasn't expecting. So one of the most powerful people in America in media retired and now wants to help me. And he was just the most thoughtful, insightful, kind person and always giving some good insight. And he said, now, you're on a powerful lineup. You got Bob Grant and Barry Gray and Barry Farber and Sally Jessy Raphael and Larry King and who's still around, by the way, at 83. Long John Neville and Candy Jones and Alex Bennett and he said, you got all these people and Bruce Williams, that's the most powerful lineup of talk people in America on any station, and they put you in the middle of the day because they don't think anybody cares about health. Well, let me tell you something, they're all talking about politics and nobody's talking about health. But just talk about health as you know it. Keep it human. Keep it honest. Keep it personal. And I couldn't have had better advice because the management of the station was telling me and demanding just the opposite. In fact, I've never told this, but they brought a guy in one day. You'll find this interesting. This guy comes in, and we go into this other studio, and he said, Gary, the management wants you to change the way you talk. And I said, why? Well, it's dull. It's boring. I mean, your voice is the whole soft voice thing. I said, well, that's my voice. I have a soft voice. I have a soft personality. No. And so he said, take this script. So he hands me a piece of paper, and he said, now repeat exactly as I do. Hi, this is Gary Noll, and we're here. And I listened to him, and I said, no, sir, I'm not going to do that because that's not who I am. And he said, well, then you don't have long in radio. I said, okay, but at least as long as I am in radio, I'm not going to try to be something I'm not. So I can thank Bob Smith for that. Throughout life, you have to look at the people in your life who are your support system, and you thank them and realize you wouldn't be where you're at. You wouldn't have your education without your teachers. You wouldn't have your spiritual insights without a philosopher, a conscious humanist, or a rabbi, priest, imam. Someone along the way was part of your support system. You wouldn't have the insights if there wasn't someone to have corrected your earlier misinterpretations. So never get to a point where you think you did it yourself. You didn't. None of us do. We are all deeply indebted to those who took the time and cared enough for us to encourage and coach us and help us. And that's why I do is what I can today to help other people, because we have to keep passing it along. So the word of the day is break some bad habits, or if not bad habits, habits that are imbalancing you. Get up every day and change routines. Do something new, something different in a different way, a different route to walk, a different way to go to work. Try to communicate in ways that otherwise you wouldn't. Be more definitive or be more patient and listen. See if you can go through a conversation just by listening to the whole conversation and giving facial expressions of agreement or disagreement, but just absorb what someone's saying. Remember, we never learn by talking, ever. We learn by listening. And how few people have the patience to listen and then listen with an open mind that doesn't automatically filter everything is reject, reject, exit that. Why? Doesn't align with our predetermined notions, right? So cell phones we're going to keep, but don't use these smartphones. I don't recommend them. You don't need them. They're not to your advantage. They're just a marketing scheme, but now they have adverse effects. They can over-radiate your brain. They can store chromosomes. They can dumb you down. And there are a lot more studies than that to go with it. Now, the University of Southern California has published a study about fasting. Now, here's what it says, quote, cutting-edge research reveals that occasionally adopting a diet that mimics the effects of fasting may provide dramatic health benefits. Fasting flips a regenerative switch, essentially regenerating the entire immune system. It gives the okay for stem cells to go benign, proliferating, and rebuild the entire system. That's from Professor Walter Longo, professor of gerontology and the biological sciences at the University of California. Quote, there are cycles of a four-day low-calorie diet that mimics fasting, cuts visceral belly fat, and elevated the number of progenitor and stem cells in several organs of older mice, including the brain, where it boosted neural regeneration and improved learning and memory. And the initial tests on mice were part of a three-tiered study on the effects of periodic fasting, testing yeast mice in humans, which was published in Cell Metabolism. That's good. So the takeaway message is periodic fasting can lengthen your life and help your immune system. Now let's go back to the mid-1970s. I did three studies in a row with over 1,000 mice where they were fasted twice a week. They could have all the juices they want, and I made the fresh juices every day myself, all organic. Beautiful environment, light classical music playing and meditative music, full spectrum light, no cages, the full run of the entire 3,000 square foot floor, and a screened in back porch. And these mice lived 22% longer lifespan. No diseases, no obesity, no cannibalism, which is very common. None of the conditions you would find in the normal lifespan of a rat, just by modified the caloric intake. So this isn't new. It's new to them. We've been doing it a long time. And a doctor heard about this study. His name was Dr. Cox. Alan Cox, and he had written a book on fasting, and we spoke, and he told me the results he was getting, and so I said, well, we can take all the blood chemistries, the people that fast, and you'll see cholesterol goes down, the LDL goes down, the bad cholesterol, low density lipoprotein, triglycerides go down, blood pressure goes down, blood sugar goes down, and oxidative stress goes down. And telomere length is lengthened. So we did a series of studies over 2 years. And then he had a whole new revised edition with all this information going into it. He was a really good doctor. And he specialized in fasting. And he said he helped more people overcoming pain and fatigue and dysregulation and dysregulation of their blood sugar specifically, what we call metabolic syndrome imbalance, than using any medicines. He was the only one I knew doing that at that time. So this has been known for a long time. What would you do today? Today I would start with one day a week, your most relaxed day. Let's say it's a Saturday or a Sunday. Have a protein shake in the morning, a plant-based protein shake, with some essential fatty acids, throw in your vitamins and some berries, and then drink that throughout the day. Like you'd make 32 ounces, and then you just drink that. Now, you could also then have green juices, green apple and celery, cucumber, lemon, ginger, throughout the day. But it's really no solid food, and it's nothing that's high in calories. The key is caloric intake. You're reducing overall body caloric intake. So at the end of the day, you're going to feel more energy. You're going to sleep better. Your body cleanses. You'll find a lot more debris coming out. People actually tell me, my goodness, Gary, you didn't tell me how much cleansing this was going to do. I didn't know I had all this stuff in me. Well, most people don't realize you could have up to almost 15 pounds of impacted fecal matter throughout your digestive system. So that's why by periodic fasting on juices, it's all getting washed out. So you lose weight, you feel better, you turn off inflammation, you thin your blood, you prevent strokes, and it's not difficult to do. You get thirsty, you just have yourself, best way in the world if you get thirsty and hungry and you want something to eat, take some cold lemon juice, water with lemon in it, and it kills the appetite. So it's good science. Now, also they have found from Brigham Young University a compound in cacao, which is chocolate. So eating about 2 ounces of chocolate a day is able to delay the onset of type 2 diabetes. And they published in the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry. What they found was that the beta cells work better and remain stronger with an increased presence of what is called EPA, E-P-I, catechin, C-A-T-E-C-H-I-N, plus monomers, and these are compounds naturally found in chocolate. And so when you eat chocolate, and hopefully organic chocolate, fair trade chocolate, 2 ounces a day, you're helping your blood chemistry. You're really making a big difference. I'm going to save for tomorrow, because it's a longer piece, a study examines the effects of stopping psychiatric medication. It's actually good because despite numerous obstacles and severe withdrawal effects, long-term users of psychiatric drugs can stop taking them if they choose, and mental health care professionals could be more helpful to such individuals, according to this study. And when we consider that 1 in 6 Americans take a psychiatric medication for serious, what is called mental illness, but it's not, then why is it that we keep these people on for life with all the side effects that has, including suicide and psychoses? Anyhow, that'll be tomorrow. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'm on a regular telephone right now. Hopefully, when power comes back and internet, I can broadcast from my normal studio in my home. And until that time, hopefully you can hear me fine. Now, I'm going to do 2 things before I get to my commentaries. First, I'm very concerned, as I've let you know over years, that we have an encroaching fascism in the United States. Yes, we can see it with major corporations that are aligning themselves with political groups like the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, and its 200-plus corporations it represents, infiltrating the entire political process at every one of the 50 states, legislatures, writing bills. They meet with them in resorts and give them the bills and coach them on how you sell this bill. Then these legislators take these bills back, and they pass them as their own and get over 25,000, minimally, laws, it could be much higher than that, passed that only represent the interests of those 200 corporations. Now, we didn't know about this. This went on for 35 years until we finally found out about it. It hasn't stopped. It's still going on. So we've seen that. We've seen Citizens United, what it's done to allow powerful billionaires to put money into campaigns to, in effect, buy elections. And we still have it. There's been no unified effort to stop it. That tells you a lot about the people involved in the system. And then we've seen all the military-industrial contractors on the one end. We've seen the major fossil fuel industry represented on the other. We see the pharmaceutical industry. We see the banking cartels. We're surrounded by special interest groups that are able to get laws passed, control the media, have think tanks, foundations, and have their spokespersons go forward. So we're all familiar with that. And I believe it's just seemingly so overwhelming that people want to say, what can I do? I'm one person. But when it gets personal, that's when we feel it the most. Example, you're driving down the road, you're not speeding, police pull you over and say, where are you going? I'm going down because there's some flooding and my family's down there. Got any cash? I got some cash because there's no credit card machines, and if you don't have cash, you can't buy food or gasoline or anything because the machines are down, the power's down. How much cash do you got? Well, I got $1,000. Okay, give it to me. What for? Well, because at some point in the history of this highway that you're driving on, a drug dealer actually drove down this road. So we have to assume you may have gotten this by selling drugs or buying drugs. I don't do drugs. I hear there's the receipt from my bank account. I took it out. I withdrew it. And it's legitimate. It's to help people who are, you know, victims of a hurricane. Well, that's not how I see it. So I'm confiscating this $1,000. I'm not going to give you a ticket. I'm not going to cite you. Just go on your way. How to get my money back? Well, you have to hire a lawyer, and then you have to come back to this community, and then you have to go into court, then you have to get multiple dates, and most of those dates for the first three or four or five times are put over, so that means you're going to have a lawyer paying. You'll be out about $12,000 before you actually have a hearing, in which case you may or may not get your money back. We get to keep a lot of that. Some of it is kicked back to the federal government. Wow. Well, how am I supposed to help the people who are the victims of the hurricane? We're the police. We don't really, and you can, you know, realize what we think of you. Goodbye. But you don't want to get smart. You don't want to say anything. Because remember, right now, I'm just stealing your money. I could also put a bullet between your eyes, and I'll get away with it. We always do. So just remember, before you start to say anything, you have no rights. None. We have all the rights. All of them. You don't think so? Take a look at the history. Sound impossible? No. What I just told you is absolutely correct. The Fourth Amendment was designed to stand between us and arbitrary government authority, which is all government authority. For all practical purposes, the shield has been shattered, leaving our liberty and personal integrity subject to the whim of every cop on the beat, trooper on the highway, and jail officer. Who said that? Herman Schwartz from The Nation magazine said that. Our freedoms, especially the Fourth Amendment, are being choked out by a prevailing view among government bureaucrats that they have the right to search, seize, strip, scan, shoot, spy on, probe, pat down, taser, arrest any individual at any time for any provocation. Such is life in America today, that Americans are being made to relinquish the most intimate details of who we are, our biological makeup, our genetic blueprints, our biometrics, facial characteristics, structure, fingerprints, iris scans, in order to clear the nearly insurmountable hurdle that increasingly defines life in the United States. You are now guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. Forced cavity searches, forced colonoscopies, forced blood draws, forced breath alcohol tests, forced DNA extractions, forced eye scans, forced inclusion of biometric databases. These are just some of the few in which Americans are being forced to accept that we have no control over our bodies, our lives, and our property, especially when it comes to interactions with any member of the government. I'm surprised. I think it would be more interesting. It certainly would bring a characterization to make it more if you took every government employee. Let's say a school teacher is technically a government employee. If it's a government school, a public school, why not militarize them? Why not put them in full military gear? AK-47, flamethrower, grenade launcher. They come to school every day in a armored personnel. They have dogs, sniffing dogs. They go into the classroom. You don't see their face because they got black masks on it. Would we then get the message that maybe we, the public, are the problem? Because we've allowed this intrusion, allowed this evisceration of our rights. But we don't think, do we? We don't go deep enough into anything. So we just think, well, you know, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? Well, let me give an example. Did all of you see, I put it up on my website, that Utah nurse, Alex Wobbles, after a police detective demanded to take blood from a badly injured, unconscious patient without a warrant, the nurse refused, citing hospital policy that requires police to either have a warrant or permission from the patient in order to draw blood. The detective had neither. He was irate, and the detective threatened to have the nurse arrested if she did not comply. Now, she was backed up by her superiors, and the nurse respectfully stood her ground, only to be arrested, roughed up, grabbed, shoved out of the hospital, handcuffed, and forced into an unmarked car while hospital police looked on. Not one of them intervened. And yet, we know all this because of the police body camera footage, which has gone viral. What does it say about the police who know that they have maniacs, they have sociopaths, they have hormone-bound idiots in their midst, and they do not do anything to get rid of them or call them out? Then you are no different than the person sitting in a car when a crime's being committed. You should be held legally accountable. Michael Chorsky didn't have an advocate like the nurse to stand guard over his Fourth Amendment rights. Chorsky was surrounded by police, strapped to a gurney, and then had his blood forcibly drawn after refusing to submit to a breathalyzer test. Why? What country is this that does this? Unfortunately, it is the ultimate fascist country in the world. We make the Stasi in East Germany look tame by comparison. Unfortunately, forced blood draws are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the indignities and abuses being heaped on Americans in the name of so-called national security. Forced cavity searches, forced colonoscopies, forced roadside strip searches are also becoming par for the course in this age in which police are taught to have no respect for the citizenry's bodily integrity, whether or not a person has done anything wrong. Give you an example. 21-year-old Carencia Corley was allegedly being pulled over by Texas police for rolling through a stop sign. Now, I'm sure all of you who've driven, you come up to a stop sign and you stop, but maybe you don't stop 100%, and maybe you're going 1 mile an hour and then you start up again. Okay. And that's what she was stopped for, not having a complete stop. Well, they claim they smelt marijuana, so they handcuffed Corley, forced her to strip off her pants, threw her down on the ground, forced her legs apart, and then probed her vagina. That probing of the vagina lasted 11 minutes. The practice is now referred to as rape by cop. It is epidemic in our society. You won't hear anyone over at Fox or the little-minded people who support everything the military, the police does. They just have this cognitive disconnect where they cannot accept that the people that they say are honored heroes are not heroes. Not everyone who serves in the military is a hero. The people that drone people are murderers, not heroes. The people that shoot people in the head, innocent civilians using depleted uranium, you're not a hero. But not at Fox. You can do anything if you wear a uniform and you're considered a hero. What fascist promoters they are. And of course, nothing happened to the police. David Eckert was forced to undergo an anal cavity search. Then they couldn't find anything, so they gave him 3 enemas. Couldn't find anything, so they gave him a colonoscopy. And that's painful, by the way. After allegedly failing to yield to a stop sign at a Walmart parking lot, he rolled through it. This is inside the Walmart parking lot. Cops justified the searches on the grounds that they suspected he was carrying drugs because he wasn't sitting upright. Quote, posture was erect. I see. So it was his posture, and you didn't like how close his legs were to each other. You found no drugs. You gave a man a colonoscopy, 3 enemas, and a cavity search, anal cavity search. And during a routine traffic stop, Lila Tarantino was subjected to 2 roadside strip searches in plain view, everyone passing by. She had her children in the backseat of the car. And during the second strip search, presumably an effort to ferret out drugs, a female officer forcibly removed a tampon from her. No contraband was found. Nothing illegally was found. But if she complained at any time, then she could be arrested for resisting arrest. But what crime did she commit for which she would be arrested? Well, she committed no crime. Now, wrap your mind around this for a moment. Just take a second and wrap your mind around this. We are arresting people who had committed no crime because they resisted being arrested. Does that make any sense to you at all? Then if it happens to you, if you have someone go up your ass in public or your vagina in public, then maybe you'll understand my rage against the abuse of all governmental agencies and all their employees today who have a capacity to inflict their ego standards, their power upon other people, how quickly they do it without a reflexive action. Is this moral? Is this just? Is this legal? Legal they don't have to worry about because our government is so corrupt at every level. The judicial, our Supreme Court, all these clowns and idiots are completely corrupted in my opinion. I do not trust a single person working for the government. I don't give a damn what you think about this. Until you are a victim of it, you don't appreciate it. It's like, too bad there's Hurricane Category 5 down in Puerto Rico. But I'm not in Puerto Rico, so why should I care? So you're not in Virgin Islands. You're not in Trinidad or any of the other places that were devastated. So you don't care. You're only going to care when it's your turn. Then the problem is you, not the storm. I hope I'm making myself clear on this. Because when we allow the police to treat us like Nazis did the citizens in the 1930s, early 30s, then you don't have to wonder what's going to be ahead. Look at your social and legal constraints, and you can see your future. And yet no one was reprimanded. No one lost their job. And this is what happens every day in the United States. 38-year-old Angel Dobbs and her 24-year-old niece, Ashley, were pulled over by a Texas state trooper, allegedly for flicking a cigarette out of a car window. And the trooper proceeded to interrogate them and search the car. And despite the fact that both women didn't put up any problem, they didn't have marijuana, police then called in a female trooper who carried out a roadside cavity search, sticking her fingers into the older woman's anus and vagina and then performing the same procedure on the younger woman, wearing the same pair of gloves. How would you feel if someone stuck their finger in someone's ass then stuck it in your vagina? Nothing was found, and yet you could have inflicted a tremendous infection upon a woman, an innocent woman. What were they trying to prove? Meanwhile, 4 Milwaukee police officers were charged with carrying out rectal searches on suspects and in the police district stations over the course of time. And they did this all the time. But nothing happened. So just understand, as long as they allow, you allow them, by not protesting, not making this a major issue, to take away any clothes, any cars, any jewelry, any cash that you want, take out the money in your bank account through this little machine they have, through asset forfeiture, then the government is the largest burglar in the United States in our history. Billions of dollars a year. And when they can search us, when they don't have to have a search warrant, when they can have 88,000 SWAT raids to deliver summonses to people's homes, breaking down doors, shooting people, killing them. I don't know whether they take, you know, their hormones to pump up their muscles before they burst in the door. I don't know what they're feeling, but you don't need. You go up and want to serve someone a notice of a late payment. You just go up and you knock on the door and you say, here's your bill. But we've militarized everything in America. Everything has to be ultimate, hyper, alpha male, alpha female. My God, we have distorted everything human in the process. That's one of my thoughts. The second is, for those, including those at The Nation magazine and other publications, Mother Jones, who supported Al Gore or supported John Kerry over Ralph Nader, for those on the left who blame Ralph Nader, why don't you pull back and look at the consequences? We saw the consequences of John Kerry as Secretary of State and also in Congress. Here's what you didn't see. Here's how the world would be changed if Ralph Nader had been elected. First, there'd been no 9/11 because we wouldn't have been meddling in Saudi Arabia and had a military base there, and that was one of the reasons that Osama bin Laden originally became outraged. His family was one of the largest families doing business in Saudi Arabia, one of the top five in the building industry, and he was one of the favorite sons, but he was outraged about military presence on their land. He was a strict Wahhabist. So you wouldn't have had the progenitor for 9/11. Ralph Nader did not believe in NAFTA, GATT, CAFTA. He would not have supported the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So none of these trade agreements that had destroyed over a million jobs in the United States and created massive poverty in Mexico. He also would not have given $23 trillion to Wall Street banks and not a penny to the American public. He would have not allowed the Glass-Steagall Act to be repealed by Bill Clinton, separating the commercial banks from savings and loans to allow casino capitalism. He also would not have allowed corporate crime to go unpunished, and no major corporate criminals at any of the banks have gone to prison, no matter what they're caught guilty of and for how much. Massive crimes have been committed into the hundreds of billions of dollars collectively, and not a single person has gone to jail, no reputation blemished. That wouldn't have been true under him. He also would not have allowed Citizens United. He would have fought against that. You would not have 900 military bases around the world bringing our form of intervention into those countries, causing the very basis for resistance. There would have been no more money in campaigns. He was a big believer in advocating for public campaigns, not private funded campaigns. He also was against shadow lobbying. He also would have allowed GMOs to have been labeled. He would not have allowed for the mass privatization of public assets around cities like Detroit, where you take your most profitable assets. The city's broke, you go in, you give them a couple million bucks, $100 million, and now you own that, now forever. And he would not allow that. He would have advocated for universal health care. We'd all have universal health care. There would have been millions upon millions of Americans who would have been treated in the best way without it bankrupting them. So think of all those bankruptcies for the last 20 years because of medical cost. That wouldn't have been there. Everybody would have been treated, and you wouldn't be paying high prices because he would have not allowed the pharmaceutical industry to have lobbied to get that bill. He wouldn't have signed that Medicare B with that exception in there that you couldn't lobby for cheaper drugs. There have been no trade secrets for dangerous products, meaning the tobacco industry had secrets that the FDA and U.S. Public Health Service knew that cigarettes were addictive and could cause cancer. They never once allowed that information to become public, so as a result, up to 20 million Americans suffered and died from cancers, the lung, emphysema, etc., because of those ingredients. Now think of the fracking and Dick Cheney. His energy policy group made it so that none of the chemicals used in hydrofracking had to be made public. But what if they are carcinogenic? What if they can contribute to air and water and ground pollution? Ralph Nader would have seen that that wasn't going to happen. He would have also, he would have had renewable energies as one of his highest priorities, and no more subsidies of any of the fossil fuel industries. He would have closed those down. There would have been a complete close down of the private industrial prison system, which keeps people for minor infractions in prison, including debtors' prisons. He would have closed down all debtors' prisons. He would have banned the death penalty. And every year, up to 20% of all the people in the United States in prison can reasonably be expected to have been convicted for the wrong crimes. And he would have done what the Justice Project has done and made sure that these people were not there, just being warehoused because someone profited from it. He would have ended the war on drugs. Could you imagine, just in Mexico alone, just take one country, over 130 million disappeared and dead, and those disappeared presumed dead, just since we partnered with them in the war against drugs. It has failed miserably. Everywhere you have a war on drugs, you have massive corruption in the governments, in the police, and, of course, massive death. If you want a good example of that, go to El Salvador. You would have no war on drugs. You would have treatment centers and helping people deal with their addictions. You would have also had no asset forfeiture. The things I talk about, you would have. You would not have the National Defense Authorization Act, no Patriot Act. You would not have the militarization of our police. You would not have private interest groups who are mandated to bust unions. You would have no war profiteering because, A, you would not have had wars. Remember, if Ralph Nader were elected, you wouldn't have had the war in Iraq or Afghanistan or Yemen or Syria or Libya. You would not have had the United States, through its CIA and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, creating a coup in Honduras and in Venezuela and in Syria, in Yemen, and also in Russia, in its Russian satellite, Ukraine. You would have not had a deforestation program. You would not have offshore drilling. You would have no privatization of our water. We would have two-tier educational system, for-profit private education, which is fine, but also free public education. You'd have a national food program where people who needed food would be able to get it, and healthy food, not commercial junk food. You would have a reforestation program similar to the Great Depression's FDR's Civil Conservation Corps, where in every state we'll be replanting. There would be the largest infrastructure rebuilding program in American history. Every single state, the bridges, the tunnels, the dikes, the dams, the riverbanks, all this would be worked on to bring it up to our current standards. There would be a major infrastructure rebuilding program everywhere. He would demilitarize the police. He would getting the police back to protect and serve a person on the beat in the community, talking with the people in that community, helping them at the community. That's what the police used to do. And many would do today if it wasn't being militarized. Not all the police are bad by any measure. In fact, from my experience, most police are very decent. But all it takes is those that are not decent and are not being reprimanded and a judicial system from the prosecuting attorneys protecting them, that you end up something from going rogue to something normal. He would audit the Federal Reserve. He would also audit the CIA, and he would close down most of the intelligence agencies and only give them a budget to what they needed to do to keep us safe. That would be about an 80% reduction, saving over $1 trillion a year there. He would have a national health preventative program to keep people healthy. He would help the veterans coming back with post-traumatic stress without psychiatric drugs. There'd be no more bailouts or bail-ins. You would go through structured bankruptcies, as I've advocated for a long time. We would have no more Vietnams, and we would not have that. I believe Ralph Nader has the integrity and would have gone forward and made a public apology for our regime change history, depleted uranium use throughout the world, our wars of conquest and capitalism, like Vietnam, Korea. He would have been, without question, the most unique president in American history, because he did not have the limitations, and yet he had the intellect of a Thomas Jefferson. Now, he also passed, without ever being elected to office, over 264 pieces of legislation, things that you benefit every day, things that you who denied him, like clean air and clean water and safe foods and getting a refund if you get bumped on an airline. All these pieces of legislation he gave us. There's been no legislator in American history that's given us so much and has gotten so little in return, except the personal satisfaction of knowing he is honoring a life that is remarkable. So the next time you decide to become very self-pontificating and self-righteous about how he caused us to lose, no, mindless, almost drone-like capacity to accept the urban legend lies of what liberalism is supposed to represent today instead of what it truly could and should represent means that the problem is the people that didn't vote for him, not the people who voted, the few who did vote for him as a small percentage. And the same is true for Jill Stein. Almost everything I just said about Ralph Nader, except for the laws enacted, Jill Stein would have done most of the same things. So there we have it. So next time you go to criticize Ralph Nader, just remember, pull back and look at the whole story of the world with him and the world without him. Well, we've had the world without him. How's that working out for you? Huh? And he would have told you about the danger areas that we should be disallowing people to go to and rebuilding, where you're going to just get wiped away again. And for those of you who thought it'd be great to go to the Caribbean, to retire, take an honest look at all these hurricanes. Every single place in the Caribbean is now a no-live spot. And so that's also true now, and it's going to be true in the future of Florida and half of Texas. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day.